Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Kay Wasson, and I am on the faculty at Loyola University in Chicago. And I'm going to introduce the panel today. I'm going to moderate the session, introduce the panel, and then hand over to them, and also do some. We've left plenty of time for questions, so be thinking about those points of discussion as we go along. But on the panel today, we're going to be looking at integrating public health and social justice teaching in law, nursing, medicine, and bioethics education. So we have Nanette Elster, who is the director of the Health Law Institute at DePaul University College of Law, as well as adjunct faculty at the DePaul Public Health Program. Kahan Parsi is an associate professor at Loyola University Chicago, the Stritch School of Medicine, also the director of our graduate programs, graduate education. Lena Hatchett is the director of Community and University Partnerships and an assistant professor, both at a joint appointment at the Neiswanger Institute for Bioethics and Health Policy, as well as the Preventive Medicine Department at Loyola University. And Lisa Anderson Shaw is the director of Clinical Ethics Consultation Service and an assistant clinical professor at the University of Illinois Chicago. So I'm going to not delay any further and hand over to Nanette, and we'll get started.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. First thing I want to tell you is I have no disclosures. I say that because we're recording and need to make sure everybody knows there are no disclosures. I'm going to talk about how I integrate bioethics social justice learning into a legal education course and how it could be integrated more globally into a legal curriculum much more generally. So this is from the IOM report. It says, public health is what we as a society do collectively to assure the conditions for people to be healthy. So this is something all of us in this room are familiar with working from this point forward. Most law students and even lawyers are not familiar with this. So it's an important foundation in my law school teaching to make sure we define exactly what public health is. Now, Gostin, in a book he wrote on public health administration, said that the study of the legal powers and duties of the state to ensure the conditions for people to be healthy and limitations on that power of the state to constrain the autonomy, privacy, liberty, proprietary, or other legally protected interests of individuals for the protection or promotion of community health is what public health law is. That's a mouthful, and it sounds completely like lawyer speak. But essentially, I'll break this down as I get through my remarks. You can see lawyers like run on sentences. We're big on more words than we need. But the other definition that's important, and this is completely a random definition, is to define social justice is the distribution of advantages and disadvantages within a society. And I purposely selected something broad when I was looking at definitions because I think that this is very much how we need to contextualize this in most professional education programs, is something very broad. Traditional legal education, for anyone who's not familiar, really focuses on case law. That's primarily what we do. We read cases, we analyze them, we apply the principles of law that are established through precedent in case law. And then statutes. So oftentimes, the case law comes first, and then a statute evolves. So statutory law is not the primary focus, although in certain core courses, when I say core courses there, I mean bar-related courses, things like secured transactions, which would be things like loans, those kind of things, we have clear codes, the Uniform Commercial Code, for example. And that we're clearly focusing on statutes. But this isn't typical. And then regulations. Many of you here might be familiar with regulations for protection of human subjects, for example, at 45 CFR 46. Those are the common rule for anyone doing research involving human participants. And then clinical experience. This is our version of an internship, if you will, or a rotation where you go out and you get some hands-on, practical, and applied experience. This is not universal. This is completely elective and not part of the core curriculum in law school. So the traditional education focuses on individuals and individual rights. So already we see a little bit of a divide from how we contemplate public health. And it's reactive rather than proactive. So public health, we're always focusing on prevention, but not in law. Law, something has to happen first, usually a dispute, disagreement, then you might get some law and you certainly might get some case law. But the law doesn't often work in a forward-thinking manner. And then the focus is on after-the-fact remedies rather than preventive efforts. And so this is where you see things like money damages. That would be something punitive, for example, or a fine if we're talking about a, you know, someone who's violated something in the Environmental Protection Act, for example. And we hope in the law that a secondary impact will be deterrence. So in a sense, that is preventive, but that's not the primary focus. The American Bar Association has set out some objectives for legal education, and I highlighted something here. So a law school shall maintain an educational program that prepares its students for admission to the bar, and this is the important part for our discussion today, and responsible participation in the legal profession. Again, it's pretty broad. It doesn't define what that is. I would argue that this is where social justice becomes an imperative that is supported by the ABA objectives in legal education. What it also says is that opportunities for pro bono work shall be offered, but students are not required to participate in such offerings. So we make it available, but it's not the same priority as taking contracts law or property law, something that a law student has to do. You don't have to do pro bono work. Now, some lawyers, depending upon the jurisdiction, once they're done with law school, do need to do it. New Jersey is an example for where all lawyers need to do a certain amount of pro bono hours per year. This is not universal across the states, however. And if you don't gain this experience and commitment starting in the legal education process, it's harder to have that commitment and enforce that commitment once one completes the education process. So law is more often integrated, and this is really a very anecdotal bit of research on my own, nothing quite as rigorous or empirical as I would like, but what I did find is that law is more often integrated into public health programs than public health is integrated into law programs. So what I did is I just looked at the 37 schools that are credited through the Association of Schools of Public Health. So I just picked a very narrow swatch to take a look at. And I compared it with 198 ABA-approved accredited schools. Now, this doesn't include those that might be accredited through the American Association of Law Schools or may not be accredited. And so when I looked at these, I found that about 10% of the law schools offer coursework in public health. We're seeing a little more movement towards social justice than when I first took a look at this. So I think this is expanding in the legal arena a little bit. But about 40% of schools of public health offer coursework in law and legal issues. Now, if I were to broaden this beyond schools of public health to public health programs, public health degree conferring programs, the number would have been much, much larger than that. So this is something that I think is significant. The public health folks see the importance of the law because these two work together hand in hand. The law doesn't necessarily see how every aspect of law is touched by public health. So we do have a clinical approach and an academic approach in the law school environment, and more often than not, opportunities for learning about social justice and or public health come about through this clinical experience, which, as I mentioned, is elective, not mandated. So someone has to come in with an interest as opposed to being educated in why this might be beneficial and how it could contribute overall to one's ability to practice law. Academic courses in public health and or social justice are also electives. Personally, I've worked toward trying to suggest that constitutional law, which is a core requirement, it only has to be one semester. Many law schools offer it for two. And one of the suggestions that I've made is that public health should be part of that elective second semester of constitutional law because it is so relevant to the issue of rights and the role of the state versus the role of the individual. And so many of the seminal cases in public health, like Jacobson versus Massachusetts, for example, are foundational cases in constitutional law. So public health can serve as a mechanism for teaching social justice. Sana Loy from Case Western said that I see law, public health, and social work as mechanisms to promote social justice. What I also love about this quote is it really reinforces why all of us are here presenting to you today. We see this as integrative. We see this as something that means educators in the service learning professions need to be able to integrate this throughout their curriculum. And she's already identifying how three different disciplines work toward social justice. And I would argue we could add a lot more to that, including the folks we have speaking today. So Rick Goodman and a number of colleagues back in 2002 wrote an article where they were trying to assert that public health coursework and professionalism go hand in hand. So the focus in public health law on the importance of the community's health and welfare could provide an opportunity to expand the public service commitment and raise the social consciousness of law students. The ultimate goal being if we raise the consciousness while folks are students, they'll take that out into their professional careers, and then we can have lawyers committed to social justice and not just law students committed to social justice. And then Wendy Parmet and colleagues came up with this public health literacy recommendations at a conference held a few years back. And they said that law students should be introduced to law's public health context. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. I've suggested to my law students time and time again, mention anything to me that we talk about in law school, and I can find a place where this fits with public health, and I can identify a public health case or a public health issue that you could use these same analytical tools to resolve. Public health powers, and that is fundamental back to this constitutional law principle, the separation of powers, the federalism structure of our government, and then public health methods, this idea of how we not only do research beforehand in public health and try to educate and prevent, but we then evaluate what we're doing. This is something the law never does and could learn very well from it. So we might enact a law, and we've got some pretty old and not so good ones on the books to date, because we never go back and evaluate its effectiveness in accomplishing its goal. That's something public health can certainly teach the law. And then public health's population perspective. We're so focused on individuals in the legal environment that we often lose sight of the impact on the population. Where I teach at DePaul University, our mission statement is very much involved in social justice, and this applies to our entire university. DePaul University emphasizes the development of a full range of human capabilities and appreciation of higher education as a means to engage cultural, social, religious, and ethical value in services to others. So to me, this seems like a really easy fit to begin to integrate it into our law school curriculum. And I just wanted to spend a couple minutes talking about the course that I teach in public health law to law students. It covers a range of topics that illustrate the intersection of, and I list these areas of law because these are our core courses, not just randomly, but these are very much core courses. So we talk about vaccination, we talk about preparedness in a very broad sense. We compare the public health approach to a criminal approach to regulate undesirable behaviors or unhealthy behaviors. And then public health regulation is a way to promote healthy behaviors. So this is just a small sampling of how the course tries to integrate these two topics with an eye toward an overarching framework of social justice. So beyond the law school experience, if we incorporate public health into the law school curriculum, it allows us to teach the next generation of lawyers not just a new way of thinking, but a new way of practicing, which involves a commitment to balancing individual rights and liberties with promotion of the common good, enabling students as practitioners to better serve the communities in which they practice. So it starts to create a different culture of professionalism. Two of the authors of the Carnegie Report that's entitled Educating Lawyers, Preparation for the Profession of Law, wrote a summary law review article, and they assert that, and I'm going to quote them here, they're Ann Colby and William Sullivan, to be a professional in the full sense is to understand oneself as claimed by a craft and public purpose in whose service one can use that craft. So service is very much how they envision the educational process and the ultimate practice. The code of responsibility. This is the legal code of responsibility, and it's pretty clear. I don't have a pointer, but we don't use the term social justice at all. But as I pointed out to my colleagues, we do have the word social and the word justice, so we're getting close. Not together, but they're in here. All lawyers should devote professional time and resources, should, not shall. I'm going to be a lawyer here and just point that little tiny bit out, should, not shall. And use civic influence to ensure equal access to our system of justice for all those who, because of economic or social barriers, cannot afford or secure adequate legal counsel. I would argue that social justice is a little broader than access to legal counsel, that there is a real role for advocacy here. Access is something lawyers can certainly help with. Anybody who's been watching the healthcare debate knows that this is a whole new area that lawyers are going to have open to them, because if any of you have read the either 200-page bill or the 1,000-page bill, somebody's got to interpret that, and it's going to fall on the lawyers. Well, this is really a social justice concern. How are we going to apply any of these laws if they actually become enacted? So this is going to become critical to the practice of law, particularly in the area of health law. And just to conclude, I want to talk about this quote from Helen Keller about social justice and professionalism more broadly. Until the great mass of the people shall be filled with a sense of responsibility for each other's welfare, social justice can never be attained. This is very much reinforced by Rick Goodman in their article that I mentioned earlier. They assert that the training of medical students actually emphasizes that medical students incur some debt to society in the process of learning their profession. And I want to conclude here, because our next talk will be about medical education. And thus, what Goodman and colleagues conclude, maybe law students could also be encouraged to include public service in their professional role. So with that, I'm going to end and turn it over to our medical discussion. And then when we conclude, we'll have some overarching recommendations that apply to all of the professions that we're talking about today.